everybody. Well, here we all are with our puffy jackets, and we have just overcome the potential bad weather and all the efforts to thwart us gathering together today. Thank y'all for coming. Just delighted to be with you again today and talk about God's living and active word. We're going to talk one more time about fruitfulness. We've talked, I sort of went through this little progression last week, but I'm going to repeat it again. God's living and active word is living, active, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the very life of Jesus himself is intrinsic in his word. And the spirit of truth takes the word of God and he uses it to discern what's in our hearts and to show us what's there, to help us to see, to reveal what we're thinking, and then to change our minds for the better and bring us back in line with what God says is true. So we've been on that pathway. We looked at how God's word is our foundation, that when we build our house on the solid rock, that it will stand firm. So we looked at that in Matthew 7. Then we looked at how God's word is our spiritual food. I think maybe we did that before we did the other. But anyway, using Hebrews 5, that we are to crave that spiritual food that makes us strong and makes us grow. So that's foundation, food. And then that God's word has the final word, that it is the final word on all things, whether we get on that bandwagon or not. You know, that God's word is eternal, and what he says goes, and it will happen. It will not return void. It will be the way he says it is. And for us to have the real gift of learning that attitude of, I think I'm going to get on board with that. I'm going to let God's word have the final word in my life because he knows so much more than I do. So we looked at that, and then we started on fruitfulness, and we've been on fruitfulness. This may be our fourth or fifth week on that. And so we've looked at it from several different angles. We talked about how our hearts need to be ready to receive it through the parable of the soils. We looked at it that week, and then we looked next at how God's word can go from our heads to our hearts through meditating. We looked at that from Joshua 1. We did a workshop on that. Then last week, we talked about abiding or remaining in God and in his word. And so that is such a pivotal part of how we live with the Lord and do life with him as a lifestyle, that I felt like it deserved taking another pass at abiding this week. And so we're going to take another pass at abiding this week. And we're going to look at some different aspects of it. And hopefully it will cause us not only to be abundantly fruitful, but more than abundantly fruitful. So today's lesson is more on fruitfulness. And so we said when we looked at the abiding passage in John 11, that's a parable about the vine and the branches that Jesus taught his disciples right before he went to the cross, that Jesus was given his testimony. He was saying, hey, guys, this is how I did it. I did this as a human being, this Christian life that I lived. I mean, I guess you didn't call it a Christian life, but anyway, this life as a disciple, as a follower of God, as a child of God, he did as he abided and remained close to his Father in that. And we said that he had constant connection, he had complete dependence, and he did it out of knowing how much the Father loved him in a covenant relationship that could never be broken. Okay, so today we're going to talk about this again, and we're going to talk about living in God's presence. And so let me revisit this passage. Let's just go ahead and read it because I'm going to be looking at several different particular verses, but I think it's important to listen to the whole thing. So John 15, 1 through 11, again, the New Living Translation. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So such a rich passage, so much practical stuff in there. And so I wanted to talk about how abiding, we really are. Jesus said it, that he's with us. The very last words he spoke before he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, we find those in Matthew 28:20, and he said, 20:28, he said, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he's remaining with us. He's abiding with us. And so we have this scripture that tells us that, and he's telling us, you know, I want you to abide in me. So I'm remaining with you, and I want you to remain with me. Stay connected. Stay with me. And so we have that knowledge, but we want to go past knowledge, and we want to acknowledge. We want to acknowledge Jesus' presence, and we want to do that consistently throughout our days. We don't want to just take that 5 or 10 minutes in the morning to say, okay, Jesus, you're there. Great, good. Here I go with my day, you know, and let me get a Bible verse to go with that. But we want to really acknowledge his presence and develop this sense of his presence with us. And that takes practice. It takes growing into this practice of abiding and the mindset of abiding. So when I looked up the word acknowledge, it means this from thedictionary.com that I found it in. It says, to accept the truth or recognize the existence of something. So acknowledging God's presence in the present tense is what I'm talking about, is that at any moment of your day, whether you're in traffic and frustrated, whether you're sitting down to have a conversation with a person that, you know, you're really hoping to be able to say something loving or confronting or whatever, you know, just any part of your day, that you want to develop that acknowledgement that he's right here with me. His spirit is in me. That sap that we see described there, the life of Christ is flowing through me. The power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through me. And I think when we do this, what that does is ignites our faith. It challenges our faith when it's hard for us to believe, okay, well, Jesus is still here, right now. And it makes it so much more personal than just, yeah, Jesus abides with all of his disciples. Isn't that great? No, Jesus is abiding with me, and he's abiding with me as I sit on the stool and as I bring this lesson. As you sit in your chair and you listen to this and seek to hear what he's going to say to you today. And so I love the way David expressed this beautifully in Psalm 16 in verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord continually before me. And so that's kind of what I'm saying, is that we want to just continually set God in mind with us throughout our day. And so this is a progression. So acknowledging him, that he's right here, right now. And then we want to engage with him. So that's going a little bit deeper. So going beyond acknowledging to really just intimately connecting to him James 4:8 is a fabulous promise, and it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That is a promise, and that's what I call a slam dunk promise, because it's a if A, then B. If you draw near to him, he is going to draw near to you. So you can take that to the bank. Anytime, you know, like I remember used to go into the bathroom, and I tell my young children, Mommy needs to go to the bathroom right now. And I would go in there and go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, just help God. You know, when I would have a discipline problem or whatever was going on, you know, just it can be that simple. I'm not saying you have to have some theologically perfect prayer. You can just draw near to him and express your need to him. And I just find that to be a beautiful gift that we have in Christ. So engaging means to begin and to carry on an activity, to take part in something, to give attention to something, to come together and interlock. I loved that when I found that in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. So that I thought that was, you know, pretty vine and branches kind of language right there, that we want to really just, it's almost like holding hands, you know, just letting our fingers interlace with his fingers and just have him walk along beside us and with us. And so basically, I think what Jesus is saying to us here is that, hey, I want you to participate in this relationship. This is a relationship. And both parties need to participate in order for that fruitfulness to really start growing and becoming abundant. And then let's talk about receiving. Because as branches, again, is that concept of dependence, that as branches, that our source is the vine. And so we've got to be in the receiving mode. And this is a little something that is just my own personal little thing that I enjoy doing. And I know many of you have heard me do this numerous times before, but I want to do it again today. So, okay, I think I know what's about to happen when I ask this question, but I would like to see a show of hands. If you are more comfortable in the giving mode, we're going to get to choose if you're more comfortable in the giving mode or if you're more comfortable in the receiving mode, whether that's giving a compliment or receiving a compliment, giving, say, nurture and care or receiving nurture and care, or it could be in any variety of things. Okay, everybody who's more comfortable giving, raise your hand. Okay, I think that, okay, any receivers here? That was 100%, folks. It happens almost every time. It just does it for me. So thanks for participating. But I do that to point out, you know, we all go, oh, yeah, well, we'll just receive. Well, hey, I'm not really sure what that is, but it's not as easy to receive as it is to give. So we've kind of got to work ourselves up a little bit of a, okay, I'm going to look to Jesus, and I'm going to be ready to receive and to do that with others as well, you know, because God uses the body of Christ to give to us as well. And so Jesus says this. This is always a verse that I thought, wow, this is pretty all-inclusive. It says a person, John 3:27, this is the ESV, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Not one thing. So we've got to receive. And then Jesus says, and you know what? I received every single thing. I didn't do one thing unless I received it from heaven. And John, it's again, John's unique perspective on the gospel story. John is the one who understood relationship, I think, like none of the other disciples that wrote about it did. John knew that he was the beloved. He knew that Jesus loved him. And he remained with him. He's the one that did remain with him through the cross. And he writes in chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 12, this very similar verse that we're about to read. I'm going to read you the one from chapter 5. John 5:30 says, This is Jesus speaking. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Mm-hmm. So Jesus himself, you know he's got to be so wise. You know, I mean, he had, I mean, I just can't imagine he wasn't. But yet he's saying, the wisdom I gained, the courage that I had, the faith that I had, the obedience that I had, the knowing how, what my next right thing to do was, do I heal this person or do I go to this town? Everything he did it by stopping and acknowledging the presence of God and engaging with it and then receiving his direction from the Father. That's how Jesus did it. And so that's how we also need to do it. And so this implies something that we're going to look at in a minute, but I wanted to go ahead and say it here, that this passage is talking about the Word of God, and that's our larger topic. And, you know, there's a lot of peripheral things that we have to have in place in order to really benefit from the Word of God and for it to be fruitful. And one of them is understanding this concept of a rhema word. And so I put at the bottom of page one that when we engage with God, when we seek his life, his wisdom, we are in a position or we're set to receive his personal rhema words to us. And so I want to remind you that the word in the Greek language has two different words that are used for that. Week one, we looked at one of those words. It's the word logos. That is when John writes in chapter one, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. He used the word logos. And then when we read in scripture about the written word of God, that word is the word logos. But there's another word, and it's the word rhema. And when you look at the original language of John 15, the vine and the branches, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that word for word is rhema. And this is what Strong's tells us that means. That which has been uttered by the living voice. So Jesus was receiving guidance through the power of the Holy Spirit as he remained in God, engaged with him, as he received from him, he would get God's guidance. And if he was remaining in the Word, let's think of one from the Old Testament. One of my favorites, Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, is what it says in Psalm 32:8. That's an Old Testament verse. Jesus may have been thinking about that. So let me just say what I am saying and what I'm not saying about a rhema word. For me, 99% of the time, when I sense the guidance and the wisdom that God is giving to me to receive for whatever my situation is, somehow it gets back to a Bible verse. It's gonna, and it must, in order for us to know it's from God, that it will always, always be consistent with the Logos written word. So let me think of an example of that. Okay, like for example, I'll be praying about an adult child. Got any adult children in the room? Mothers of adult children. It's a whole level of mothering that is, you know, I remember the days of littles, you know, but I'm saying I've got adult children, and so you got a whole different thing you got to do with those as a parent. So I'll be praying about an adult child, and I'll be going, but God, you know, I'm just praying about this situation, and I'm just dying to say this to them, and can I say this to them? And I can just see it so clearly. I don't think they can see it that clearly. And Jesus, you know, and I'll be just, you know, having my little wrestling on my wrestling mat with the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times this is something that I have a phrase that has come to my mind as I've prayed and then I've sat still. After I've gotten it off my chest and I'm waiting on the Lord, the phrase, holy ground. And me going, oh yeah. And what that phrase means to me is this. I know you love your children. I mean, God is not talking to me out loud. Please don't hear me say that he is saying all this to me. But this is what that phrase means to me. I love your children. I know you love your children. But this is a work between me and them. And so I need you to kind of, you can pray as often as you need to, but I need you to kind of back away and let this be between the two of us. That's what holy ground means to me. Well, you can work that back to a Bible verse, and the Bible verse that it comes from is Moses. Remember Moses in Exodus 3 when he's standing there and he sees the burning bush and he goes, the Lord says to him, take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground. Okay, now remember all the history of Moses. He was raised by his mother and daddy in a Christian, I'm saying Christian, a godly home. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was trained up. God had done all these miraculous things to get Moses ready. But this was Moses' call from the Lord. He needed to hear it from the Lord. And so that's what that phrase means to me. But I wanted to just kind of tell y'all, that to me is a rhema word. When I'm in the midst of just battling for my children in prayer, and God, when I get still, reminds me of that. See that? It's from the Logos word, but it becomes a rhema word to me because it's personal about the situation I'm bringing to the Lord. Does that make sense? Y'all don't think I'm making up some new prophetic thing that's outside of the canon of Scripture, do you? Because that's not what I'm saying. I believe that God has finished writing the Bible and that His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, and we're going to talk about this in future lessons, is the one that applies that to our hearts. And you've heard me use that phrase a lot. So that's the part of what we do receiving, is receive those words. Okay, so let's turn over to page 2, remembering this progression we just did, and let's do a listening. So, Lord, okay, we're going to go to prayer now, and I've got you 3 different things we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. So, Lord, please show each one of us how we can grow at every point on this continuum of abiding. What specific ways could there be an enhancement of my acknowledgement of your presence? So, Lord, is there something specific you'd have us to change or do or not do that would help us to acknowledge your presence in a better or greater way? And then secondly, Lord, would you show us, is there any specific way that the way we engage with you could be enhanced? And then lastly, Lord, is there any specific way that you would like to enhance my ability to receive from you? Okay, and so as always on these listening, y'all, I know we've got fast processors and slow processors. We've got people who've been doing this for decades, and then there's people that listening is new to. So this is not only for you to apply the truths that we've just talked about and the principles we've just talked about, but it's also kind of your homework. You know, just to go back and to explore some of these things at a greater depth during the week. I mean, we don't give homework, but if you want to go deeper with and really apply this material, this would be a great way to do it. So anyway, so that is the progression for really benefiting from God's presence. So presence, and then the second P is pruning. So Jesus talks about in verse 2, and I've given you verse 2 here in the Amplified. It says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So you hear the purpose of pruning there at the end of that verse is to help us to bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So I know it's very tempting when you feel of the Lord getting out the pruning shears for it to feel punitive, like I'm not doing it right. But he wants to enhance our fruitfulness. Let's look at the word prune in the original language. This is not to be confused with the fruit that old people eat, but it is meant in this sense to cleanse from impurity or guilt, and to remove useless shoots from strongs. And so he says, and I wanted to repeat this concept again this week, in John 15:3, verse 3, it says, you are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. I wanted to mention something in the greater context of this passage. You know, we said last week that this is in the Upper Room Discourse, that the teaching part of that is chapters 14, 15, 16, but really the whole thing would be chapter 13, where they go to the Last Supper, and then chapter 17, where Jesus prays the high priestly prayer. And I want to mention what happens in chapter 13. If you remember, when they go to the Last Supper, Jesus bends down after supper and washes the disciples' feet. Remember that? And how when he got to Peter, you know, we can always count on Peter to say what it is we're thinking, you know. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And he said, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have any part of me. And he said, well, so then wash me from head to toe, basically. And Jesus said, well, you've already been washed from head to toe. I just need to wash your feet. And so what I've been taught that means is that it is similar to what Jesus is saying here in this teaching about pruning, is that you have already been cleansed from head to toe. You are the righteousness of Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So in that positional sense, in the sort of the, quote, legal sense, we are already clean, and we forever will be. And this is not about our salvation. This is about our ongoing relationship with the Lord. And so he's saying, you're already clean, but you're going to need pruning. And so I did some more research this week, and I found this really good quote. Y'all know Ligon Duncan? He's a big name in the PCA. I think he wrote this. It's on his website. They didn't cite an author, but I think it's him. It says right here that when we are converted, we are decisively cleansed from sin such that we enjoy salvation permanently. Yet, Christians continue to sin and need cleansing of that sin. Post-conversion sin does not so dirty us that it makes us kingdom outcast, but it still needs to be dealt with. So hear that. He's using that same kind of language as it uses in this parable. He's just cutting away that part that needs to be cleansed in the sense of sin. And we can go to Jesus knowingly, quickly. We don't have to wait. We don't have to grovel. We don't have to beg. We don't have to spend a lot of time feeling guilty. We don't have to pay penance. We can just go boldly to the throne. And I've given you that verse, Hebrews 4:16, that let us therefore approach the throne of grace with fullest confidence that we may receive mercy for our failures and grace to help us in our hour of need. So don't hold back. Just come on in and say, Jesus, I blew it. And then 1 John 1:9, that we all know that verse. Lord, I'm just confessing and agreeing with you that I stepped out of fellowship. I went my own way. I missed the mark. I didn't obey you. And then when we do that, he cleanses us in the sense that Jesus is talking about in abiding. So we just want to do that in that same continual way. Just keep it going. And when you sense that you are disconnected, stop, pause, receive. Lord, is there any? What happened here? Is there anything I need to confess? And oh, yes, yes, yes. And I agree with you about that and ask you to forgive me. And then boom, you're right back in. You're right back in. And then I wanted to mention this set. This is twofold from our definition. One is that, what I just described about when we do miss the mark and fail. And then the second one is removing those useless things from our lives. And the reason he does it is to make us more fruitful. Whatever this thing is, it's probably not a sinful thing. It's just something that interferes with fruitfulness. And this 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says in the Amplified, test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. So I always picture life, kind of a little metaphor I've used over the years, is that your life and everything you do is like a plate. And, it's like going through the buffet line and you put different things on your plate. Well, we've all got a lot of stuff on our plate, don't we? And I always just like to be very open-handed with what's on my plate and to be willing to say, Lord, if there's something on here that is interfering with my growth, with my relationship with you, with my relationship with others, with my effective ministry, with whatever way you want to be fruitful in me, Lord, this is open territory for you. You get to say what's on my plate. And if there's something you want to take off my plate, let's prune that. I invite you to do that. And sometimes, to me, the better way is live with that open-handedness toward him. But sometimes we'll sense, every time I get involved in this thing I'm doing, I'm sensing tension, heaviness, weariness, whatever. He has his ways of letting us know, I'm not experiencing the fruitfulness and the fellowship in this particular thing, and maybe it's time to seek him about letting him prune that out. So that makes sense? So that would be the second way pruning could look. Okay, let's do one more listening. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him about both of those types of pruning. So Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to come and just search our hearts. We want to bear abundant fruit and experience fullness of joy that you've promised here in this passage. So please search our lives and, first of all, show us anything that is sinful and offensive to you. Okay, Lord, and then secondly, we want to ask you if there's anything, please show us if there's anything that needs to be trimmed from my life so that I'll become more abundantly fruitful for you, Lord. Okay, y'all, I got two on this. Sorry that for that long pause. But, you know, when I'm, let me just say what I wrote here. Two things came to my mind. And how I like to do this, if the Lord kind of touches on something, I just wrote here, I said, Lord, I need you to confirm this. So I'm going to be coming back to the Lord later in the week and seeking him about just exactly what that looks like, you know. And then I'm going to be kind of testing it out during my week, you know, and just say, okay, Lord, I think you've put your finger on this. I'm going to just tell you what one of them was. Y'all want to know what one of them was? I subscribe. Probably it doesn't look like it today, but I subscribe to numerous fashion blogs. And then, you know what they do in fashion blogs is they have all these links. So then I click on the links. And then sometimes I click on the link to the link, which then puts that in your basket. And then I click on the link to pay for it. And then it comes in and it doesn't work. And then I have to go to the UPS store like I mentioned last week. It's, you know, I could probably be more fruitful. So anyway, but I'm going to just have to ask which ones. Is it all of them? Is it, you know? So anyway, I'm doing this, but before I cut myself off from this source of fun, I'm really gonna seek the Lord. Just being transparent with you guys. I mean, you know. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Okay, so we've got presence of God that we're pursuing just at that deeper and deeper level, letting God prune us. And then let's talk about the prayer part, because when Jesus is talking about fruitfulness in this passage, yes, of course, he's talking about growth in Christian character for us to become more and more like Jesus. Yes, he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, he's talking about us becoming more just having the Word of God more embedded in our thinking. Yes, he's talking about all that. But do you want to know what his main emphasis is here? Is answered prayer. And okay, and this is getting into I love this. I just can love to talk about this. So let's talk about the fruit of answered prayer in our lives. So John 15:7-8, let's go back and read what that says. And I've given it to you in the New American Standard this time. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so when we come to him, when we seek wisdom, when we are abiding in his word, when he speaks to us through his word by the work of his Spirit, you know, a great verse for that is one I pray very, very often, Psalm 25:4, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. It's out of that understanding between me and the Father that I want to do what Jesus did. Remember we read in John 5, that I come not to do my own will, Lord. I come to do your will. And so it's out of that heart attitude, it's out of the overarching context of what God's taught us in his word, that an effective prayer life is born. And that comes through that interlocking abiding that we're talking about. And so we can ask God with a sense of faith and expectancy when we are abiding in his word and then asking. And so listen to John 16:24. This is a verse I've quoted a lot of times. It was my main verse one whole year. This was the verse of the year for me. And I like the way the Message translated it, because it made it really clear to us, I believe, what Jesus is saying here. And this is, again, part of this dialogue he's having with the disciples right before the cross. So John 16:24, the Message says, this is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever is is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask in my name according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. So, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. We've already said this, but I'm going to re-say it because I think it's important, is that when we sense, oh, this verse really applies to my situation, I think the Holy Spirit's lighting this one up for me, I'm going to write it down. And then I'm going to turn around and say, Lord, your word says, and so I'm going to pray it back to him. And I'm going to, you know, say, Lord, I want to trust you with this. I want to believe you for this because faith pleases him. But I want to remind you that when we pray like this, it involves, and I've given you just here kind of like almost the third from the bottom, letting go of the way we think it needs to turn out or the way we think it should happen. Number two is waiting on God's timing. And number three, this is the good part, experiencing the joy of seeing God answer that prayer. And y'all, I'm going to tell you about what we just had. The last person that shared in leadership, we had been praying about a longstanding situation in this person's world. And she was the last person to share in our leadership group. And when she told what happened, we all went, I just went berserk. I probably screamed. I'm sure I probably did. And I beat on my computer and made a loud noise. And that is the fullness of joy that Jesus wants us to live that way. I mean, he wants us to remain in him and in his word in such a way that it may not be quite that dramatic. But what joy there is from seeing him actually move. We've been waiting a while for this answer to come forth, and the way God did it was perfect. It was longer than we thought it should have been. We kept wondering why he wasn't answering it. We knew this had to be his will, but we got to see kind of how he was working in various ways. He's not just answering that one little thing you're waiting on. He's so good and so big that he's doing more. He's using that situation and multitasking in it. And so that is the joy that we can all expect. So one more verse that has been just such a great one for me, and it's what I call the appropriating verse. And I learned it very, very early in my journey of discipleship. And I want to share it again with you today. I'm sure you've heard it before. But it's 1 John 5, y'all. That says 15. That should be a 5. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. So this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked from him. There's a condition in there. We're asking according to his will. So I know that if I'm praying a biblical prayer, so we're talking about God's living and active word. If I am praying God's living and active word to God, we know that's his will. And we can appropriate that. And let me just give you, I'm trying to think of just an easy example. One we studied in Sunday school on Sunday, James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach. And to me, that's another slam dunk. I can say, Lord, I'm praying this back to you. Would you make it true of me that I have your wisdom about this situation? And then you can say, will you make it true of me that I abide in you and you abide in me? Would you make it true that I would abide in your word? Would you make it true of me that I will what was that other part we're talking about? That I'm asking whatever, I'm asking what you wish. Would you make that true of me? Would you make it true of me that I bear fruit? That's we can pray every single one of those things, I said, with complete, this is the confidence we have before him, that we're asking according to his will. This is his will. So that gives me some buoyancy and some energy and some faith and some confidence in my prayer life, because I'm kind of, I know I'm on the same page as God. Does that mean I can't ask him for the desires of my heart? Doesn't mean that. You can most definitely ask him for the desires of your heart. But hopefully that kind of gives you some sort of guidelines about doing all of these things in tandem and making it a lifestyle. Abide in him, his word abiding in you, and then asking whatever you wish. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so did it help to go back over that? Okay, good. Because I don't want to be too repetitive, but I also don't want us to miss out on the meat and potatoes of this. Okay, I'm going to tell y'all the other half of my testimony that I started last week. So this is kind of like, I talked last week more about my day-to-day and the issue of abiding. This week, I'm going to talk to you about more my, like I was describing, the long-term thing that I'm waiting on God for. Am I asking whatever I wish? And I'm asking whatever I wish, and I'm asking whatever I wish, and I'm asking whatever I wish, and I'm still asking whatever I wish. Y'all got any of those? Yeah, I know we all do. And so I hate talking about this, but I felt incredibly led to do this, and this is where God was at work with me this week, is one of the things I'm waiting on is God to restore functioning to my body. And for those of you who don't know the story, I'm going to give you the elevator version of it, which is I had March 23rd, I think it was, 28th, 19, gosh, that shows how old I am. March 28th, 2023, I had my first surgery that was a hip replacement on the left. 8 weeks later, I had a hip replacement on the right. And then I had a back surgery because they thought it was my back that was making my left hip not work. And then in 2024 in February, and then again in July, I had the left hip redone. And so 5 surgeries in 16 months. I'm coming up on I just crossed my 6-month mark for my last hip surgery. And y'all, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. I'm just telling you the reality of my situation. My functioning is no better than it was before I had any of those 5 surgeries. My walk-ins, just as poor. My discomfort after extended activity is just as the same. It's the same. And so I want to tell you, I have sought the Lord. I have had one of the gifts of this whole thing is, first of all, watching God do what he said to Joshua. You know, something hard that I went through, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know what? He did that for me. I had so much grace for all those surgeries and all those recoveries, but I'm going to tell you that where I am right now, still waiting on God to bring fruit from those surgeries, that this is harder than going through the surgery. But I wanted to show you that I have been remaining in his word. I've got other people remaining in his word for me. This is in my notebook, my journal. This is all, these are all the words that I'm remaining in, promises that I feel like I have from the Lord that I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, I'll just read you my main one is, I will restore you to health and I will heal your wounds, Jeremiah 30:17. Now, am I going to take it to the bank? Am I going to buy the t-shirt that I am going to be running marathons again? I don't know. Maybe I will be. I believe God could do that. I think he can do anything. I'm not really thinking that's what it's going to be, but I do think it's going to be better than it is right now. I'm believing him that I'll be better than I am right now, that I will have some restoration of function. So, but it becomes, you know how it is when you're still waiting. It at times it can interrupt that abiding relationship because you're thinking, God, I thought thought you said, God, look at all these promises I have. God, why don't you do something? And so I get in that place of discouragement sometimes. And so, but here's the thing, like we said about the other thing, the other person's prayer that got answered, God has been busy, busy, busy at work in my life. And let me just say the phrase that we've said in Divine Design for a long time. It's not about the hip. Y'all, it's not about my hip. I mean, it is about my hip, but God has been working on my marriage in a really good way. God has been working on my community with people I never knew went to this church, have shown up and shown out to support me through this journey. God has enriched my community through this. I mean, I could name a whole bunch of stuff he's done through that. He got me out of the kitchen. Woohoo! I mean, lots of fun stuff that he's done through it. So it's not like he's been silent and doing nothing. He's been doing a lot of things, but he has yet to move on this. And so one of the things that he showed me a couple of weeks ago was that he pruned me. And I wanted to tell y'all about it. So I was having my time, and I was, you know, just saying, Lord, I'm feeling disconnected. I need to reconnect with you on this. I need to re-ask you about this. Is there anything, Lord, is there anything that you want to show me? Any, you know, just like it says in Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Show me any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And as I was waiting before the Lord, he reminded me of me talking about myself in a way that was not honoring to God. Just like when my children say, I'm so stupid, I go, don't you say that about my child. That's what, in essence, God was saying to me, don't you say that about my child. Because I had been saying, I'm so flabby, I'm so... I've been talking bad about myself. And what God showed me is I had let my circumstances change my mind, that I was now thinking like my circumstances, letting them do the talking about my identity. That who God says I am had taken a big backseat to how I was feeling and thinking because of my circumstances. And so he had me to ask him to forgive me for speaking ill of his child, and to say, Lord, you know, by your grace, please help me not to do that any longer. And then it was like, let's take it a step further. What do I say about who you are? And so remember that exercise? I feel flabby. But God says, I'm his beloved. He says, I am a child of God. He says, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He says, I'm his branch, and he's my vine. And he's going to give me whatever it is I need right here, right now. He's with me right here, right now, in month 6 post-op. I'm not in 1 year from now when maybe it's going to be better. I need to abide in him right here, right now. So that's kind of what it's looked like on me. And so I would just say, maybe that'll help you in the places where you're not feeling like you're able to stay connected because it's taken so long. Or what it might look like to be pruned in an area so that you could be more fruitful. So let's just take this to the Lord in prayer, and I'll close this, and you can write your one thing. So, Father, I just thank you so much for giving us Jesus, our vine. Thank you for being our gardener, God. You really are a good gardener. Thank you that you do want to remove those things in our lives that are not productive, that you want to take away those things that need cleansing. Thank you for taking away those things that are hindering us and getting in the way of really being fruitful. Thank you, Lord, that you're always, always, always there. And that, Lord, we can engage with you And we can receive from you. Lord, I pray that you would make our receivers more and more and more healthy, and that you would help us to make it just a place of new freedom for us to receive from you. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that you would just really give us excitement and faith and expectancy about bringing your living and active word to you in prayer and just watching you work, Lord, because that truly is so amazing and so joyful. So, Lord, we thank you for all these things you're teaching us about living with you, and ask for you to help us to apply them in the days to come. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.